Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Blue skies above the World Centre of Racing as Friday of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona weekend is about, in competitive terms at least, to get underway with 27 ND Mazda MX-5 Cup cars for the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich. Just a little way in from the famous Daytona Beach, a little way inland where all of the thirst for speed started in this area, is Daytona International Speedway. 3.5 miles with a tricky infield section and the high speed of the high banks, which gave us some fantastic racing yesterday. Hello, everybody. I'm John Hindoff. Shea Adam will be joining me here in the booth as the cars roll out of the pit lane. Let's have a look at what happened yesterday. Take a deep breath from the start. A pole man in the red 05 didn't get the best of the start. And Preston Pardew in the number 42... drafted up over the top and took the lead. It was a lead that he held on to, a slender lead for pretty much all of the race. Derek Ware with a left front puncture early on in the Lemons of Lovecart. Then a very big moment for Lonnie Unser. Damaged her car enough that she's had to have an engine change. That brought out the safety car, and on the restart it was the 08 of Michael Carter who had the big, big slide. Then coming to the line, four wide across the track, the man who led coming into the tri-oval ended up eighth, and our Paul Sittenham, Gresham Wagner, took the first round of the championship, but you could have thrown a blanket over the top six. Magnificent stuff from all of the drivers yesterday. Let's quickly run through the field as it stands, with Lonnie Unser starting from the back after the remedial work on her Hixon Motorsports number 27. It's Moisey Uretsky and Savannah Little who are on the 13th row of the grid, 55 and 63. 13, Jensen Altman and Derek Ware, 98, are the next two cars and drivers up the field. On the 11th row of the grid, Hannah Grisham in the number 72 from Hixon and Peter Atwater in the 26 from Cortland. Then on the 10th row of the grid, Brian Hixon and Hernan Palermo in respectively the 47 and the 20 Mazdas. Alex Batura is in the 33, Zabra Cook alongside there, position 17 and 18. David Starman, Juan Hernandez, 36 and 59 on the 8th row of the grid. Aaron Johnson and Joey Attanasio are on row number 7. It's Brian Ortiz and Drake Kemper on row number 6. Luca Mars and Daniel Williams are making up the bottom end of the top 10. That's car 41 and 38 in positions 9 and 10. Sam Paley and Justin Piscatel are on row number 4. On the third row of the grid, Jared Thomas for JTR Motorsport Engineering has his JTR teammate Chris Noons alongside him, 96 and 32. It's Michael Carter and yesterday's long-time leader, pretty much led every lap, Preston Pardus in the 42. That's the black and white police liveried car. And on the front row, in second place, it's Ellen Rowland for Hixon Motorsport and Spark Performance Gresham Wagner has the pole again in the red number 5 down on the low side. Shea Adam is with me. We'll get to her in a moment. It'll be a typically fraught run into the infield for the first time. So, edge on to the front part of your seat because that's where you're going to be for the next 45 minutes. Roll up your sleeves. Let's get ready to go. Mazda MX-5 Cup Racing for the second round of the Idemitsu. Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich. Gresham Wagner coming to the line and gets the green flag. Gets a good start as well. He's been pushed along by Michael Carter in the 0-8. Into the first corner. 1, 2, 3, 4 across the track there. Pullman this time hangs on to it for the moment. Let's see how they get on down to the International Horseshoe. Well, do you know what? That qualifies as a lead for Gresham Wagner. He's got half a car's length, maybe a little bit more. Oh, yes, stretching out now from the second-placed driver. Meanwhile, up the inside, number 96 in the silver car, Jared Thomas for JTR, making a move on his teammate, Chris Neunzer, who's in the other silver car, but with the slightly darker grey and then the bright yellow. Well, this is a much better start, Shea Adam, for our pole sitter. Gresham Wagner it didn't seem to slow him down. He came from in the pack yesterday to win the race, but this is a much better way of doing it, and he looks very cool, calm and collected onto the high banks for the first time.
Yeah, he said yesterday in his winning interview that he learned a lot during the course of the race. Maybe the most important thing he learned was patience, and it seems to have worked out for him. As he running for Spark Performance and second, Michael Carter running for Carter Racing Enterprises, they don't have teammates in the field behind them. They've got the Hixon pairing and they've got the JTR pairing. So we will maintain this six-car battle for the lead of the race simply because teammates work well together.
Not a curb taken in the middle of the bus stop, and someone's going to go around there, and that is the number 38 car. Oh my goodness, is it going to get hit? No, everybody sort of gets through. Wow.
That's Dan Williams.
Dan, who started down the field just a little bit, and did he get a helping fender? I think he did, bit of hip and shoulder there. Did well putting in the counter steering as he was driving up the inside. Well, everybody's battling on the first lap, let's be honest. But yeah, really did well to hold on to that share. That could have been a huge shunt in the middle of the pack. Looked like he took a little bit too much curb in the middle part of the bus stop.
For sure. And he did a fantastic job to not only not get hit by anyone, but then also to recover and manage to keep going on his merry little way. As I believe there's a little bit of damage perhaps to the front of Michael Carter's car as well. It seems to be a little bit of a black stripe just in the middle of the Mazda smile, if you know what I mean. But it's not seeming to affect the aero too much, as he's still hanging onto the tail of Gresham Wagner, who, by the way, set the fastest time through Sector 1 this time around. So maybe Gresham already going for that additional 10 bonus points from setting the fastest lap of the race.
Simon Nolan and Michael Carter still battling it out. Carter in second place. Very, very tight all the way through the field. And the key to driving these cars quickly is keeping the momentum up. And Shea's intake of breath was because there was a fairly heavy coming together between Alex Matura coming out of the West Horseshoe, as he just did not want to lift. I think that was Juan Hernandez that was in front of him at that point.
And for Alex Petura, he's been in the series since at least 2014. A lot of experience in these MX-5 cars. Still adjusting to the ND, but having a lot of fun. And that would have been a surprise for the dentist.
It was Seb Cook, actually, in the 37 car, one of the Hixon machines, battling with Alex Petura. But they seem to have both got out of that fairly well unscathed. The top six within three quarters of a second down to Sam Pearley, the 28 car, in sixth position. The two leaders doing what we've now come to understand is going to be par for the course. This is standard operational practice for Idemitsu MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich on the high banks. Andy Holbury, Autosport editor from days gone by and respected motorsport journalist, sent me a note overnight to say this reminds him of a Formula Ford race on the club circuit at Silverstone. It's the same sort of thing. Lots of drafting, nobody really getting away, and being in the right place on the last lap. And I absolutely agree with you, Andy. Spot on with that. These cars, with the addition of a sequential gearbox, pull it back to change up, push it forward to go down, similar to up and down on a motorcycle, of course. But other than that, still very much need to be driven. They are, relatively speaking, a light racing machine, so they don't have to make huge amounts of power. They're immensely fun to drive. I have been behind the wheel of one of these cars at Road Atlanta and absolutely had a ball. Best way to get them slowed down is to just stay out of the ABS, just on the edge of the ABS, and take as much momentum and speed through the corners as you can. And at the moment, it seems like that top 8 or 9 are coming back together again. The number 42 in 4th position, that is the man who led for most of the race yesterday, and raising awareness and some money for a very important police charity in that black and white colour scheme.
Yes, that would be the 42 machine of Preston Pardis. Blue Help Charity is what is being represented on his car. It's a charity for police mental health and helping the families of officers who commit suicide. It's also being run on Brian Hickson's car. So the 37 also wearing a police livery too. But we now have this battle shaping up once again as Preston Pardis wants to go to the lead. But this time he's got someone right in front of him, and that's Sellan Rowland.
Yeah, and they're... have got the outside line, and here they come. Look at how they're drafting up towards the leading pair. So the leading pair now, but a bit of bump drafting going on. It's going to be two by two through the tri-oval. Wagner, Rowland still just about holding on to it, but big dash round the outside by the number 87 car. Rowland switched to the outside and tried to get the advantage. That grey and highlighter yellow car sitting in now behind the leader, and there goes the 42 of Pardis, who dominated the race yesterday, an extraordinarily leading coming into the tri-oval, finished 8th. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It was brilliant.
Pardis and Rowland are BFFs, as I'm reliably informed. And yesterday, it was Rowland pushing Pardis for most of the day. Today, it was Pardis pushing Rowland for the start of this race. So perhaps their roles have reversed, and maybe Pardis learned that he doesn't want to be leading coming into the final area of the race. And I don't mean exit NASCAR Turn 4. I mean coming into the tri-oval.
Well, he's the what he's doing is a much more restrained race at the moment, and so long as there's not too big a gap between himself and the leader, we've seen, and he will have seen, how easy it is, if you do get a hookup with another car, to be able to draft your way back. And anybody who's watching the stock car racing here at Daytona, home of the Daytona 500, America's race of course, will know that you go better as a pair than you do as a single. The issue is getting that momentum started and finding a clear lane. Open top cars, these, so the air is broken up quite significantly over the cockpit of the car and the exposed roll bar. So it does make for a small car a big hole in the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cars, and here's Pardis to the outside, to the high side, and immediately covered off by Rowland. And now they've got the link up, and it's side by side, a little bit of bumping and boring. There was a message issued by race control about excessive or prolonged contact on the high banks. It's Carter going back to second in the red car, or the red car with the white under part. And that is very close indeed. You just see here though how well these guys have now adapted to that 45 minutes yesterday. We've had just on 9 minutes, and we've got this 6-7 car train just pulling ahead at the front of the field, down to Sam Paley for McCombie McAleer Racing, who at the moment is just seemingly playing a bit of a waiting game.
Well, it worked well yesterday for Sam Paley. In only his second race weekend, he managed to come home second in that melee that we had at the end of the race. So Sam Paley knows You don't have to be there or thereabouts. You don't have to be leading the way. But for Gresham Wagner, he's playing this very well because he's championship leader after winning the race yesterday and getting the pole position yesterday and today. Those are all bonus points. You get 10 points for pole position, 10 points for leading the most laps, which he's doing right now, and 10 points for the fastest lap. So he's trying to complete a weekend sweep, getting all three, albeit over the course of two races. He wants to do it all today.
The win, of course, will give the biggest chunk of points. You might see the tail lights just flashing from some of the cars in the line, and that's just the driver just trailing the left foot. They're not taking their foot off the throttle. The right-hand pedal is flat to the firewall, but they're just trailing the left foot a tiny bit, just dragging so that they're not running too hard into the car in front and attracting attention from race control. 1, 2, 3, 4, as quick as we can see them, they're back onto the tri-oval again, and the leader for Spark Performance in the red, white and black car sticks pretty close to the yellow line. Not a huge amount of power, as we said. So basically, Shea, he's saying, our leader Gresham Wagner is saying to the guys behind, right, if you think you have got the momentum to go round me, then you're going to have to do it the long way and take the high side into turn one and do your braking coming down the hill. I think that's smart, and that's something he's clearly worked out from yesterday.
Yeah, but the only thing that worries me right now, John, is I don't think Gresham went back and watched the race from yesterday. I don't think he realized that Preston Partis led every lap and did pretty much what he's doing right now, which is being defensive but fair. And that didn't work out for Preston with the eighth place finish. So it all comes in swings and waves. And right now it's all happy for Gresham Wagner, but he needs to know how to race his car at the end in order to take it to the checkered flag, not just hope that somebody pushes him along.
Just on the end of that leading seven, by the way, the light blue car is Justin Piscitel for McCombie McAleer Racing. So he's in there. And Shea Adam, we have got a penalty from contact.
Yep, a warning, albeit, but for our former series champion, Brian Ortiz, in car number 4 for Copeland Motorsports, the Puerto Rican driver has been told, hey, stop with the continuous contact on the banking. That's dangerous. Well, now he's not doing it anymore, but right up his tailpipes.
Luca.
Car number 41, Luca Mars, and that's pushing him right into the cars in front of him too. Uh-oh.
That's the next batch of cars, Shea, going through the bus stop now behind that leading seven. So that's 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th is the Copeland car for Brian Ortiz, who's just had the warning, and then Luca Mars on the back of that, again a Copeland Motorsport. So that's Chris Nunes, Drake Kemper, Aaron Johnson, Brian Ortiz, Luca Mars, behind Luca is the number 13 car as well. It's the number 20 car, excuse me, as well. So they're all running for position and having just as good a scrap with just over 30 minutes, just over 32 minutes, or on 32 minutes to go. And at the moment, they're slowing each other up. I don't think they're helping themselves. We've seen people drafting and being able to make up 2, 3, 4 cars lengths on the run from turn 6 to the bus stop, and again from the bus stop through the tri-oval back down to turn 1. But these guys at the moment, these cars, I think, are slowing themselves down. They're not getting up to the leading 7. And the light blue car of Justin Piscitel has made up a position. He's up into 6th position. Justin Piscitel, once partnered with Till Bechtelsheimer, who's a part of the IMSA paddock as well, in a Cayman in GS, one-off. Unfortunately, and you'll remember this because it was at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Justin never got to drive the car. Do you remember why?
I remember at Road America, the car wound up on its roof.
Sorry.
Is that what you're mentioning?
Yes, Road America, not Canada Tire. Canada Corner, lap 1, it was on its roof on the tyres. Down the back straight in the sunshine. Fantastic racing as ever. Round 2, Idemitsu MX5 Cup for 2021, presented by BF Goodrich tyres. And still, Gresham Wagner, our double pole sitter and already a race winner this weekend. But he had to come from, I think he was 6th or 7th. So we know that Piscatel perhaps and Sam Paley in 7th. Maybe. Still in with a chance here. And that's assuming that we don't get any more changes. Piscatel in 6th position. But really, he's probably only 4.5 car lengths from the leader. In through turn one again. Oh, a little bit wide there from Wagner in the Spark Performance number 5. The car with the red nose, the white centre section, and then the dark grey hind quarters. Right on the outside, coming out of the Western Horseshoe, excuse me, of the International Horseshoe. That's an audacious manoeuvre by the number 42. That's the Hickson Motorsport car, of our most laps led recipient of the points yesterday, Preston Pardus. And he's still side by side with Justin Piscatel. Piscatel has finally got that done and moves up another position. I think that's put Justin into 5th position now. Described by many who know him as a wily veteran. Bit of trading of paint from the 41 and 24 as well. That's Luca Mars and Aaron Johnson. And a big Tokyo Drift moment just about held through the bus stop. That was fast hands and a very dry mouth, I would suggest, there as that car pendulum one way then the other for Juan Hernandez, the Team Guatemala Racing driver. I think he gets points for style on that one.
Yeah.
Shit, Adam, more continuous contact warnings.
This time it's for Aaron Johnson, who was part of that duo that we were talking about a few moments ago with Drake Kemper, his teammate. And then, of course, the two McCombie McAleer cars a little bit further back trying to work, well, not in conjunction with one another, but apparently it was, because Johnson has been warned for continuous contact on the banking, which is what race control is adamant about today.
And more contact there. This time, Drake Kemper in the 99. And he, I don't think that was hard enough to have done some damage to the radiator shroud on his MX-5. That was fairly stout contact again with Aaron Johnson. And that's the battle for 8th, 9th and 10th. Right in behind them, Brian Ortiz, then Chris Nunes in the white with the white stripe down the middle of his car. It seems purples and dark reds are the go-to colour for liveries this year in a number of different championships here.
Very, very much so. Although Drake Kemper's car, bright pink, he quite often races with cars in very flashy colours. And Drake, who is actually a child actor, which I will never, ever let him live down or forget. He was on Nickelodeon, as a matter of fact. But he is a former Mazda champion back in 2014. He's been in this championship for many years, frequently finishing within the top 5. He's somebody who knows how to race these cars, and he is trying everything to get back up to the lead pack.
Do I detect just a little bit of a breakaway from the top 3 there, with the number 87 in 3rd place, the dark grey and highlighter yellow car, who was right up there earlier on? Well, it looks to me as though Selin Roland is just dropping back. Man that calls Orlando, Florida their home, a driver that calls Orlando, Florida their home. And we have, of course, got a couple of locals here, including our long-time leader from yesterday. So onto the tri-oval again.
John, we've got a pit caller.
Oh.
That's not something that should be happening in these sprint races, but Juan Hernandez has come down the pit lane in his Team Guatemala machine. He got a penalty for a jump start, had to serve a drive-through, and then had that Tokyo Drift-style moment going through the bus stop a few minutes ago. He has pulled into his pit box. I'll let you know if he leaves once again.
May have done a bit of damage, particularly to the BF Goodrich tyres there. Really impressive longevity from the BF Goodrich's yesterday in our opening race of the weekend at the Rolex 24 at Daytona meeting. Drivers putting in some of their fastest laps right at the end, and once again side by side action. And an interesting number of different lines coming out the International Horseshoe there, Shear, as the bright yellow number 20 goes through of Herman Palermo.
This is not a one-size-fits-all kind of a racing series, as Hernan makes a dive down the inside. Great move. He actually was given the Hard Charger Award yesterday for passing the most number of cars, but then he subsequently lost that and his fourth-place finish as a result of post-race tech. There was a mild infraction as far as weight is concerned, and so he lost that. So Hernan is looking to try and regain all of that dignity that he got yesterday.
Sabra Cook going back one position there, and I was just wondering if he was going to be able to hold, if Palermo was going to be able to hold on. He went a little bit deep into turn six, but turned that into a decent exit onto the high banks. We're halfway through the second Daytona International Speedway race for the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup. What brilliant action we've seen so far in what is effectively three quarters of the racing laps for these cars this weekend. Shea Adam is with me, John Heintorf, and we've been deliberately trying to pace ourselves as well, because from what we saw yesterday, certainly the last lap, possibly the last couple of laps, could be absolute barnstormers. More warnings coming in, and I get the feeling race control are going to lose patience shortly, Shea, and these are drivers who are battling for major positions.
Race control sees everything, and I know that because I know the view from their booth very, very well. They have eyes on the track at all times. It is now Joey Attanasio who has garnered their displeasure, and of course Drake Kemper, but that was fairly obvious. Drake, the cameras were on you. You should have backed off a little bit, not maintained that constant contact. But race control continuing with the penalties, the warnings for now, I should say. Up next will be penalties, and the penalties are 1 second added to your time post-race for the first infraction, 5 seconds for the second, and then drive-throughs there on out.
Even a second here could, I mean, yesterday, a second was the difference between first and sixth. So that could be significant. Juan Hernandez, the Team Guatemala Racing 59 white MX-5, has now been retired. So whatever was ailing that car, or Juan has just decided that he's not going to get back into being able to have a bit of a battle. And we've got the top four back together again, as the number 87 of Selin Rowland for Hixon is back onto that lead group. Then there's a little bit of a gap, and by a little bit of a gap, a couple of seconds, if that, with Pardus, Sam Pearley, and Justin Piscatel then behind, having their own little scrap. Just a little mistake there by Rowland. Didn't get out of the bus stop onto the speedway, and that's dropped 3, 4, 5 car lengths, and those three Mazdas ahead of him in the draft of each other, they'll be moving very quickly, and that might be really significant as Piscatel goes side by side with Pearley behind. Piscatel in the light blue car, they're still battling for fifth and sixth position, and if anything I think they're closing down Rowland. Very good on the infield and makes time back on the three leaders, but then can't find an exit from the bus stop onto the fast part of the circuit, that run down through speedway turns 3 and 4 and through the tri-oval. I tell you what though, Shea, Pearley and Piscatel are coming. I think we're going to have the top six back together again fairly shortly. Slightly more disappointing run today from Preston Pardis for Hixon. The black and white number 42 in seventh position is 3 seconds further back from the blue car of Justin Piscitel.
He's further back, but he still has the fastest lap of the race so far. And we've seen that happen yesterday because Gresham Magner is hanging out in seventh place before the caution came out, which grooved him back up to the leading breakaway pack. So it's not over till it's over.
Another blue car fighting for position is David Staab, the man from Texas in the Slipstream Performance Engine machine. That number 36 car going side by side with Copeland's Joey Atanasio from, again, just down the road, Windermere, Florida. Not too far to come for the race weekend. And they're having a cracking scrap at the moment, down towards the bottom end of the top 10. Top 20, excuse me. Always somebody to race. Oh, super exit. So that run from the second place car of Michael Carter, the red car with the white sides, almost got him alongside the leader, but he's dropped back in dutifully onto the rear bumper of the leader. Third place, JTR, number 96 car. That's the silver machine of Jared Thomas from Indiana. 20 minutes to go, Shea. Literally anything could happen. Literally anything could still happen. And I'm going to say... No, I'm not. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. The leaders are still racing. You knew what I was going to say. Rollins dropped back a little bit now, and he is in danger because I think Paley and Piscitel in the dark grey black 28 and Piscitel in the light blue car, the 89. Now, they're both racing for McCombie McAleer Racing. Chad McCombie, by the way, another one who cut his teeth on the small screen as a regular in One Tree Hill, of course, and played Dale Jr. in the movie 3. If you're going to get your entertainment news into our Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup coverage, then we will as well.
We need a red carpet to be able to call John.
Yeah, very good. I like it.
Yeah.
Just so long
we
as you don't ask me.
We have another retirement.
Yeah, who?
Unfortunately. It is Lonnie Unser, who, remember, was driving in a different chassis. She's showing as in the pit lane and retired on the bottom of the screen. So that's two cars that we have no longer out there running around, which means we still have 25 of the MX-5 cars out. And if you happen to be listening around the track and you think, these cars sound a bit different than the last time I heard them, well, they do, because the exhaust is manipulated in a slightly different fashion, and the mufflers have been removed for the running at Daytona International Speedway, so they are a bit louder than perhaps they are at your track around the country.
Yeah, slightly different noise regulations here, wide open spaces, and also just liberating a little power and letting the engines work. They're flat out for so long here that they don't need that back pressure that the muffler would give them. Top three now are pulling away. It's over a second, getting on for 2 seconds between the top three and Rollin, and Rollin is being caught last time around. It's only fractions, but it's enough. But these three, then three spots on the podium, three cars out front, with Rollin now having dropped back considerably. That was a very slow lap for him. He was a couple of seconds off the pace of these leaders. 2:10.1 for Selim, whereas the JTR Motorsports Engineering number 96 car in third position for Jared Thomas did a 2:08.1. So exactly 2 seconds. Here's that battle further down towards the end of the top 20 in the bright yellow number 20 of Hernan Palermo for Slipstream, leading a gaggle of six MX-5s. Down in the braking area for the International Horseshoe, Nick Lamolli on the side of the number 36, that being driven by David Staab. The Slipstream Performance. Slipstream, Copeland, Hixon, all multiple entries for those almost super teams in the championship for this year. A championship, by the way, that has a phenomenal calendar. I was about to say, once we get a moment, shake and run down it, we'll never have a moment where there's no action going on. But suffice to say, Shea, without mentioning the dates, the tracks, the venues and the events that the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2021 presented by BF Goodrich, well, they are going to some absolute quality and classic raceways.
Straight to St. Petersburg, Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, Road America for the Alana Long 100, WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, and Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Yes, please.
Yeah. Do you know, I never used my race license at all in 2020, but watching this race yesterday, I cannot believe I was the only one that thought, I need to be back in a race car. In fact, I need to be back in an MX-5. Wagner, Carter, Thomas, Piscatel up to fourth now. Shit.
I got to the point yesterday watching this race where I wanted to drive down the street to where I know there's an MX-5 Cup car sitting in a garage and just take it up and down the driveway. It's such invigorating, and it really makes you get that thirst for not only driving a race car, but for the racing, because that's what this series is, non-stop action where you can't stop looking out your windshield or your mirror.
Very impressed with the respect that was shown yesterday as well. Was there a little bit of contact? There will have been some panels that weren't exactly as the cars came out of Fliss at Racing Developments once they were transformed from their road car, street car base. But there was nothing, there was no monkey business going on, there was nothing nasty. It was good, clean, close racing, where a little bit of rubbing is still racing, but lots of respect, nobody keeping the foot in and trying to turn people around. I was very impressed indeed yesterday. So having worked way to the front of the group, that bright blue car of David Staab for Slipstream, just beginning to break away, third back in that, the black and red 43 is Julie Atanasio for Copeland, and he's looking a man most likely at the moment. There's the number 20, which is the bright yellow car. That's Herman Palermo trying to make up. Quite frankly, you could make up two or three positions when someone else tries an overtake. Oh, the leader of that little group just getting hung up on the high side there. Now there'll be some bump drafting to his left down towards the yellow line. And through comes the number 13 of Jensen Altman from Phoenix. Another one of the McCombie-McAleer racing cars with the white hood, the white bonnet. Has to get his braking point right here, and drafting through right in behind him was the man I mentioned, Joey Atanasio. At the front, by the way, the leading three are still separated by a tenth and a half. Get your phone out right now, put the stopwatch on, and try to stop it at 0.085 of a second. That's the gap between first and second at the moment. It's small.
What sort of an effect that damage on the front of Michael Carter's car is going to have on him, particularly as you know it's going to happen, the three of them fan out to come to the start-finish line, because there is a chunk missing from the paint, at least, on the hood. It doesn't look like it's too bad aero-wise, but we're at Daytona, where stock car teams spend millions of dollars to try and find a fraction of a millimeter. That's got to be having some kind of effect on the 08 and our reigning champion.
Justin Piscatel, by the way, and Sam Paley have dragged by the number 87, the Hickson Motorsports car. I thought Roland had a problem. He's had a couple of laps that weren't really up the snuff, and now goes from fourth to sixth. And Piscatel and Paley working together in the two McCombie-McAleer racing cars, the blue 89 and the darker coloured number 28. But they are 4.5 seconds back from the leading trio as we move towards the last 10 minutes of what started as a 45-minute contest. The two McCombie-McAleer cars, well, Roland's still on the back of it. In fairness, they haven't dropped him. But I suggested to you a couple of laps or three laps ago that Roland was not having the best middle part of the race. But now, with Piscatel in the blue car and Sam Paley right ahead of him, he's got some drafting partners. Now, these three need to work together right now. It's two teammates and an outlier. But if they work together, they may be able to get back to the leaders, particularly if the leaders start to get a bit fresh with each other as we're getting towards the money laps.
Yeah, and for sure that Piscitel and Roland realize that they have to work together. It's Sam Bailey, who's the question mark in that equation, new to driving cars with bumpers on them. So this will be very much a learning experience. And it's a good thing he's got his teammate Justin Piscitel to show him the way. But now he's going to have to watch his rearview mirror too. So that's going to complicate things for the youngster.
There goes one of the police charity cars round the outside. No sirens and lights for this one, of course, which is a bit of a shame. They really need. There are Whelan Engineering in this paddock. I bet you they could get him some. They could get him some lights on that car for Preston Pardus.
Yes, please. They need to, and particularly in the headlights, if one could flash red and one could flash blue. Oh, that would just be magical.
I've got a feeling that
people would pull over.
Yeah, well, no, I think that we might get confusion with the Safety Mazda NT out there. But it's just something that my mind flashed to there, knowing that there will be a display of Whelan products in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car paddock. A point to note, by the way, in these unusual times for all of us, IMSA are operating a very strict paddock policy with separate bubbles for the teams and even for the different paddocks, and health checks every morning. Even if you're on the inside of Daytona International Speedway, there's a place you have to go to. You get a QR code every day to allow you back into the paddock, and that's competitors, staff, everybody, and there's no mixing, so socially distanced racing just about. These guys, even when they're touching, I think they're 6 feet away from each other. I think that's all right.
Yeah, the length of a hood of a Mazda and then the trunk of the one in front of you, yeah, they're doing more touching and hand-holding in essence than they probably have done in months. But yes, Michael Carter very much utilizing the rear bumper of Gresham Wagner, our leader, who has led every lap of the race so far today. And that means that he does get the 10 bonus points for the most laps led. The fastest lap of the race right now, those points going to Justin Piscitel, still back in the it's now Preston Pardus who's taken the fastest lap of the race. So our leader for the, well, entirety of the race yesterday, except for the one lap that counts, he's now at least getting points for the effort for today's race. But it is Gresham Wagner who stands to get 20 additional points to wherever he finishes.
So under 8 minutes to go. And it's still that Spark Performance number 5. Starting to drift a little bit through turn 6 onto the high banks. Again, the gap between these first three and the chasing pack, which is headed again by Seth Rowland, who's drifted past Paley and Piscitel. It was Piscitel, Paley, Rowland in 4, 5th and 6th. Now it's Rowland, Paley, Piscitel.
It'll probably change 17 more times in the last 7 minutes of this race.
I don't think, unless there's some argy and bargy at the front of the field, I don't think that Rowland, Paley and Piscitel are battling for anything else than first driver off the podium. Piscitel's just dropped back a little bit in the bright blue number 89. It's going to be between these three, but as you say, Shea, which way around it is. And I wonder if the Spark Performance pole sitting driver and winner from yesterday, Gresham Wagner, has learned he was not leading coming to the flag. He was not leading coming off turn 4. He did lead across the line. Surely Jared Thomas in third and Michael Carter in second in the 08, just with that little bit of damage on the front end of the car, surely they must be thinking, how are we going to find that draft?
Well, and it's 7 seconds back to that second pair. We've seen some spectacular finishes at Daytona International Speedway before, particularly when it involves coming home for the win, coming out of NASCAR turn 4. Just because they fanned out doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to make it to the line. So this gap, the gap back of 7 seconds, a lot could happen in 7 seconds in terms of trying to get your car restarted if something goes wrong, if you know what I mean. So the second group, they're not necessarily fighting amongst themselves. They're still thinking that there is some chaos reigning supreme in the lead pack. It just hasn't struck yet.
5.5 minutes. That's a couple of laps. Oh, big off. This is going to be it. The race could be called here. That's coming out of turn one. Unfortunately, it's not been lucky for Jensen Altman in the 13. McCombie McAleer racing car. He was running just outside the top 10. I suspect these guys will be allowed to race before the yellow flag comes out. So this could effectively be the race. There's the yellow. The yellow's come out. And just before the yellow came out, Michael Carter took the lead. Moments before the yellow came out. Now that is going to cause some interest, because I don't think with 4 minutes and 50 seconds to go, here, Adam, that we can get that car of Jensen Altman from Phoenix. I don't think that car is going to be cleared quickly enough to get back to green flag racing. The guys here on recovery are brilliant. 13 in the wall. Already we've got the track services and safety crew there. Just lost it coming out of one.
Too much. Yeah, over the curves on the outside of turn one, and it's speared him clear across the track into the pit wall. So Jensen Altman with a hit on the front and the back of the car. Most of the damage on the right-hand side, but I think you're right, John. That will not be able to be moved within
the move,
a four-minute window.
The move.
But the move
that took the leader of Gresham Wagner from first down to third. When did the yellow come out? Now, race control will be looking at this and trying to make sure they know. By the way, Sabra Cook was involved or close to Altman when he went around, but I haven't been able to say definitively whether there was any contact. I have a suspicion it was just the rear tyres breaking away. Not much room to make a mistake at turn two. 3:18 to go.
There's another complicating factor here for this race in Daytona. Everyone needs to have a spotter. So what could have happened there was Wagner's spotter could have said, hey, there's been a crash, they're going to go full course yellow, meaning that he would back off. Race control is saying that Wagner is our leader. So that pass, in effect, happened after the yellow came out.
Well, I was watching for the lights and the flags. There may be some conversation about this. Now, interestingly, I've got conflicting information on the two timing screens and on the timing tower. The good news, by the way, is that Jensen Altman is out of the number 13 car under his own steam, I believe. Yeah, and he's taking his helmet and his balaclava off.
I've just gotten some additional information. Thank you to Michael Murphy, by the way, who's listening into us. The timing loop is right before the entry to the bus stop. There are 3 timing loops around the track, thus giving us 3 sectors as far as timing is concerned. That one would reflect that Michael Carter was the leader, because he was at that point in time that the cars crossed that line as far as the leading trio is concerned. But when the yellow came out, Gresham Wagner was the leader, according to race control.
Okay.
It will be white flag this time by as well.
So, under yellow flag safety car conditions, we are robbed, unfortunately, of what we were hoping, which was another dash to the line. No overtaking. Under the yellow, of course, which means that, rather bizarrely, the car that's third in line is going to be the winner of this race. So it's going to be a twofer this weekend for Gresham Wagner and for Spark Performance. I'd rather like the first race of the weekend, Shea. You'll look at the results in years to come and say, ah, yes, that number five car started on pole and won the first race, started on pole, won on the second race. Clearly, absolutely nothing happened then.
Yeah, just swept the weekend. Would have been easy for Gresham Wagner coming out and making a championship declaring statement that he's really intent on the weekend. Just getting another message, though, John, as per race control, 08 is the winner.
Okay.
So there might be a little bit of confusion going on in race control right now.
Okay, well, I have to say, from what we were watching, it looked like the pass had been made before the yellows came on the track. What you don't know is what is being called by race control. It was very tight indeed. There wasn't any touch. Cerbera did not touch the back of Jensen's car. He put his right rear BF Goodrich onto the dirt, and that's what initiated the spin. On the high banks, heading out of turn two, big run for the second and third place cars, up over the top by Wagner and followed through by Jared Thomas. And that pass was made, but how much of that was from lifting off by the leader? But that is going to be the pass, as we called it live, in fairness, that is going to be the pass that gives the win then to Carter Racing Enterprises and the 08 Michael Carter driven car, the man from Savannah, Georgia. It will be JTR in second, and that is Jared Thomas Motorsports in the Lemons of Love car, and possibly slightly grumpy then from Gresham Wagner. Gresham, who did all the hard work today and had the yellow flag come out 3 seconds earlier, he would have been the winner of the race. To the checkered flag then, under full course yellow, it is the 08 Carter Racing Enterprises. Michael Carter wins race two of the 2021 Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich. Got to say, the safety car driver was having a heck of a good time there, because he took them round at a really decent clip. All right, it was half a minute or so off racing time, but only half a minute, and that is an absolutely standard road-going ND. That is the safety MX-5. That shows you how good a base car we start with. Magnificent stuff then. Fastest lap of the race, by the way, going to yesterday's long-term leader, and in fact lap leader yesterday, Preston Pardus, the man from New Smyrna Beach, who doesn't have far to go home then from Daytona International Speedway. Unofficial results then. Carter Racing Enterprises, Michael Carter from Jared Thomas, Gresham Wagner, they'll be on the podium. Good comeback in third place for the number 87, shuffled down to sixth at one point in the race for Sellen Rowland and Hickson Motorsport. Then the McCombie McAleer Racing pair, Sam Pearley getting the best of his teammate Justin Piscatel. That's your top six. Preston Pardus taking the fastest lap. Then it was Drake Kemper, Luke Mars and Chris Noons made up your top 10, finishing behind the safety car. Beautiful sunshine, great racing, and the first weekend of a brilliant season for the Idemitsu MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich. And if that's whetted your appetite, don't forget we have all of the coverage from the season, every single race live, whether in the US or further afield. And I think we might be having a decent audience for these coming down through the next few months. Just under 30 cars started this weekend, and I have heard from speaking to the organisers and the guys in the paddock and some of the teams that there may be extra cars coming in. So, coming into the pit lane.
John, I can say that our Hard Charger Award once again goes to Hernan Palermo.
Right.
So 2 days in a row. Hopefully he passes tech this time. Hopefully he ate a really big dinner.
So an extra lap behind the safety car to bring them back around and into one of the most famous pit lane and victory lane areas in world motorsport. And Michael Carter in the 08. Do you know, yesterday, it could have been such a different weekend, Shea. Remember on the restart after Lonnie Unser went around, it was Michael Carter that was on the grass on the tri-oval and had a fantastic save when he was totally sideways. That surely, if he'd speared up the track, would have ended his weekend. And he comes back today to take race two.
Yeah, and what did we learn from this weekend? Leading laps might get you 10 points, but it doesn't ultimately get you 350 points for winning the race, because there's only one lap that you need to win, and it's that last one. And it seems to be that leading every lap in the race, having the strongest car, setting the fastest lap, doesn't necessarily count for what you'd hope it would.
So just waiting for Michael to get out of the car, get his breath back. Probably not finishing exactly the way he wanted. I'm sure he would have liked to race those last two laps. No, absolutely not. What he wants to do is to take the points for the victory. A very opportune pass. Salutes to the grandstand. And as soon as he gets off the side rail of the car and takes off his protective gear, we'll have a quick word with him. We've got a winner's hat for him, a protective mask as well, of course. And as he's down there now, taking off the hands device, composing himself. Great run for Michael and a great start to the season. What a great couple of races. Carter Racing Enterprises take a victory then in the first weekend here at Daytona, and Michael is on the line. Michael, it's Hindhoff here in the broadcast booth. Congratulations, mate. That was a tight one with you three. Did you know the yellow was coming out? Did you know it was then or never to get the win?
My spotter came over the radio as we were coming up on the banking, said there was going to be a full course yellow, so I just decided to go. And sure enough, it came out right before the bus stop. It was everything that seemed to go right this race compared to the last one. That was awesome. I couldn't believe it. It was definitely a gamble to make the move then, but it all worked out in the end.
What did you learn from yesterday, Michael? You were on the grass on the restart. I said in commentary it could have been such a different weekend for you had you not had super quick reactions. What did you learn from yesterday's 45-minute encounter?
Well, today's race shaped out a little different. You know, yesterday I was the fourth car in line, you know, the last car in the lead pack. And today I just thought that I would push Gresham and be that deciding car second in line. And, you know, sure enough, about 30 minutes in, you know, it was a three-car race. It was myself, Gresham, and Jared. And, you know, we all played nice. I let Gresham run his race and picked him up on the banking. And it was all she wrote. It was a lot better than yesterday. I thought when I was in the grass yesterday sliding, I thought we were done. I thought I was going to shoot back up in the traffic and it'd be done. But to come back and win today, man, I just have to thank everybody with my team, Carter Racing Enterprises, Mazda, all the things they've done for me the past couple of years, and just everybody at IMSA. It feels special to get a win here at Daytona.
Michael looks straight across the track and up to the top of the grandstand there. It's Buffy on the camera. That's where we're watching you. Let's have a wave to the camera, please, whilst you're down there. What a great start to your season. You've had a late model start in the past. What does it mean to take a race victory and to be standing in that victory lane at Daytona International Speedway?
It's pretty special, you know, to get a win here at Daytona. I think everybody dreams of winning here at Daytona, and to do it on Rolex 24 weekend. You know, it means so much, and this, I'll remember this forever. It's really great. Thank you.
We can see and hear the smile in your voice. Enjoy the rest of the weekend and the rest of the season. You and all your colleagues and your competitors have given us some great entertainment already. Can't wait for the rest of the Idemitsu MX-5 Mazda season with BF Goodrich. Thanks, Michael. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Michael Carter, our winner, live from Victory Lane at Daytona International Speedway. On the grass sideways in race one yesterday. Always at the front of the action today. And whilst everyone else was making mistakes behind, trading a bit of paint and getting their BF Goodrich tyres dirty, once the 13 car and Jensen Alton gone into the wall, they knew that they were coming with the yellow. It was one chance and one chance only required for Michael Carter, who takes race two at Daytona. Bye-bye from him and from all of us. We'll have the rest of the season right here.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.